Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. It's an old adage, Ad-deenu kulluha adam. What is deen? Deen is about adab. Proportion to the adab, the wuzu was done correctly, using the miswak, that was an adab, and escalated the reward 70 times. And you missed it out, you lost. Azadi Rahmatullah Ali explained the meaning of mustahab. Says it comes from hub, muhabbat. And when the word alif seen precedes the mustahab, it means to seek. So mustahab actually means to seek the love of Allah Ta'ala. Istahabba. What you are looking for? Muhabbat. Our students, when they come across these definitions in Sharia Wiqaya, all that, and they see that the definition is that this is an optional thing, you do it good, and if you leave it out, it's no wrong. So they feel now that they should leave it out. So they only saw it from one perspective, they didn't see it from the perspective of love. So these aspects of love and muhabbat, this is how they build up small, small aspects of adab. Abdullah ibn Mubarak is a leading muhaddis. Everybody talks about him. He's about the only one. There's no jarah. Nobody's made any jarah. Nobody's criticized. Very seldom you find that nobody has criticized him at all. So he's delivering a sabak to his students, and he came across the name Haddasani Nu'man ibn Thabit, that is the name of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. So some students shrugged their shoulders, frowned a little bit, and someone even dared to ask, who's this? As though this person was not familiar, is something different. So Abdullah bin Mubarak, such a great person, he left teaching them for 1 month. A personality like this, you're shrugging your shoulders, you're showing an indifferent attitude, where's your adab going to? So just leaving out that aspect of adab, it created such a ghabrat in him, such a worry and concern in him, that this type of a person, the people are showing an indifferent attitude. Impressing upon the student that, see, your studying is going to be illuminated with adab. That's why the leading ulama and shaykh say, the adab proportion to the work, right, is food proportion to the salt. Means the adab will be like food and the work will be like salt. So if you see now, there's no minutest bi'adbi is not caused. Smallest bi'adbi, smallest. That's why they say, as khuda talabidam tawfiqe adab. Ke ba adab ba nasib. Or be adab, be rasim. We humbly beseech and beg Allah Ta'ala that He teaches us adab. Hadith also says, Allaman in Rabbi wa ahsana ta'adibi wa adabani wa ahsana ta'adibi. Allah Ta'ala Himself taught me adab. So He says that بے ادب بے نصیب با ادب با نصیب person that's got the adab, then he is fortunate. And who doesn't have that adab, then he is not fortunate. So in anything that we are doing, what is the adab that is required? Yes, we do have the muhabbat. So muhabbat is one ingredient in the whole making. And the next ingredient is adab. See, these two important ingredients, love and muhabbat. And minus this aspect of adab, you can be terrified, you can fly into a rage. If your child is introducing you, is introducing his father to someone, he says, man is my mother's boyfriend. Would he be speaking a lie? But is that acceptable? Isn't it sufficient to let you fly into a rage that this child spoke like this? But what he missed out? He just missed out the element of adab. And when he missed out the element of adab, and what a wave of anger this thing sent. Just that adab. Allah Khari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullahi Darulum Dioban, there used to be a small majlis, you can't even call it a jalsa, small majlis, for those students that want the turban to be tied, and presentation, whoever came first, second, third, etc. There should be a small sitting for that. Students like curry stuff too much, so they will come in big numbers. So in that, he quoted, مَنْ تَحَاوَنَ بِالْعَدَابِ هُرِمَ السُّنَنِ وَمَنْ تَحَاوَنَ فِي السُّنَنِ هُرِمَ فِي الْوَاجِبَاتِ وَمَنْ تَحَاوَنَ فِي الْوَاجِبَاتِ هُرِمَ الْفَرَائِدِ وَمَنْ تَحَاوَنَ فِي الْفَرَائِدِ وَهُوَ عَلَى خَطْرِ. Says that when you are relaxed about the other mustahab things, smaller things, relaxed about it, then in time you will begin to neglect the sunnahs. And then when you take the sunnahs casually, then that will encroach into your wajibat. You will start leaving out the wajibat. And when you want to be casual about the wajibat, then faras will not be a serious thing any longer in your life. And when that is gone, then your iman is on the line. So as though these steps here, mustahab, sunnah, wajib, it's a buffer for you to cross over to disbelief. Because all this one wall, second wall, a third barrier, fourth barrier, all is saving. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi advised his most dear student, Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi, you see, you must come earlier to the masjid and leave later, because everybody's eyes is on the imam. If you are coming last and going out first, then they'll leave out their faras. But if it is that you're coming quite early and leaving later, then they'll at least make it a point to come for the takbir ula at least. And if you are going to remain a little longer, then they'll at least read the sunnah, etc., and then leave the masjid. But you're going to come at the last moment, this is what's going to happen. I know around 79, 80 or something, and the Zuhr Azan was going. So I left the home to proceed towards the top masjid. The temple, madrasa hasn't yet commenced. So, one black man tells me, yeah, he's listening to the azan. He said, yeah, the last one to come in and the first one to come out. I thought to myself, Khuda unse bulwata hai. Allah Pak is making him talk. See, namaz, and the type of importance this man, although he doesn't have iman, But the importance that he showed me, that you must, for the prayer, for the namaz, it must be early. Don't be the last one to come in. Although it was azan, now we know, right? But what was his understanding? So I took a lesson for myself. The delegation of Abdul Qais, there was one influential person, Ashaj. Ashaj means someone who's got a gash on the head. So he gets a name, Ashaj. So the whole delegation had come in to accept Islam or to learn something about Islam, whatever it was. So this person, that influential person, he came with a little bit of a delay. The rest, they ran to Rabi Salasam, Kishtipsan, Bereisht, everything. He came with a little bit of delay. So his approach was, he had a bath, whatever new clothing he had, put on the new clothing, perhaps he applied itar, went to the masjid, read two rakat namaz, and then met Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that became, up to now, that became the adab of the ziyarat of Masjid al-Nabawi. This person started it. But Rasul Pak sallallahu liked this of him. إِنَّ فِيكَ لَخَصْلَتَيْنِ الْحِلْمِ وَالْإِنَاءَ. Allah Pak likes these two qualities of yours. You got endurance, and you do things gracefully. But you came, see, what pains and adab you've shown right until you met me. See, this is what you had shown. The adab you've shown, the respect that you've shown. There's no doubt about the muhabbat. You've got the muhabbat, but the type of adab that you had shown. And now, we think that adab is a small thing, and Allah Pak speaks about it. لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ فَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ أَنْ تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Just raising your voice to the elder, just raising your voice, it can render all your deeds null and void. أَنْ تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. The Imam Thami Sahib Rahmatullahi, he comments on this. أَنْ تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. It's a little bit of bi'adbi. And tahbata, what it results in, your a'mal being all null and void. So he comments on this, how does this happen actually? He said, what happens is, when you show this type of a disregard, right, then the motivation and the drive that's in you to do good, that thing either goes very weak or it's dead. So the thing that drives you to do good is some motivation. You have some spirit, some motivation to do the good, right? You're keeping roza and you look forward to it, right? Namaz, you look forward to it. And this is evident in the Jummah namaz. You see how people come in droves and crowds, right? Must go for Jummah namaz. See that? So that's an Allah Ta'ala's inspiration in your heart that you must come for this. In your work, whatever it is. But that inspiration is so strong that you ask a normal Muslim, who's got iman, average practicing Muslim, will go for a bribe, right? And I'll give you $1 billion, just leave out that one Jummah namaz. Is he prepared for that bargain? An average Muslim, you are not too learned and educated. So he must be getting something in the namaz for him to turn down that offer. So now, this is that tawfiq. And now, disregard to these people here, what happens is that tawfiq, that drive that we have, the grace that we have from Allah Ta'ala, that thing dies. Now when it dies, there is no drive in you to do good. Then you are going backwards, until you just fall in out of iman. But you see this aspect, this element of adab. once, before I had gone to Jalalabad, so it was a style with all the Buzruks around, so some students, and it was a Mufsab Rahmatullah style also, that if he is undertaking a journey, he will make it a point to meet Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah. Although Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah was his contemporary, he may have been senior in age, but he said, no, the Buzruks that are around, I should go and visit them. That was his style. We meet Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah. Both were not in the Ustads, not his Sheikh, and not in his line as well. But he said, no, I must meet them. So you see that adab. Although both held each other in great esteem. So once or twice, company of Sab Rahmatullah, going to see Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah. So normally that place of the Buzurg is reserved for him. So nobody sits on that space, that carpet, that place is reserved. So Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah instructed himself, mere kalin ke par ja kar ke baith jao. So Mustafa Rahmatullah was a very informal person, he sat down. But he said, mitti ke dher ku, chahe idhar bitha do, chahe udhar bitha do, mitti ka dher to mitti ka dher hai. The lump, the clot of soil, put him onto the carpet or put him onto the ground, he's still a clot, nothing. So he considered that as a favor of Hazrat and also recognized his worth. I'm just a clot of sand, nothing. Nothing beyond that. Well, it's nice to see this thing. First time you see two great mashayikh and then the respect they've got for each other. So both of them were studying in Darul Uloom around the same time. And they had an understanding, Ustad and Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah, that whatever kitab I have done the previous year, I will teach it to you. And so will you do. Kitab that you did the previous year, you will teach to me. Ustad used to be a little bit friendly, and his tabiat was a little bit jolly also, humorous. But the day Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah got khilafat, said, ab to be takallufi karunga nahi. Ab to main aapke saath, aapke saamne adab ke saath pesh aata hu. Before that he was different now. Now that he got khilafat, said, nahi, aapko aisa hi rehna hai. Main to be takallufi to karunga nahi. I won't do that now. Now show adab. Hazrat Ji came once to Ustad Rahmatullah Ali, studying in Deoband, both rooms are near. So they're studying, and Hazrat Ji came and he's worried. So, kya pareshani? So, no. Last night, there was a knock on the door, and I was engrossed in my mutala. This is a dream now. See, the dream is seeing, I'm engrossed in my mutala, and there was a knock on the door. So I didn't pay attention, so deep he engrossed. When I picked up my head, I saw it was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So I'm feeling so embarrassed that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was knocking at the door and I didn't pay attention at that time. So Mustafa Rahmatullah comforted him. Pareshani ki koi baat nahi. Inshallah, aaj phir ziyarat naseeb ho jayegi. Don't worry about it. Inshallah, you will see Rasulullah again. Ab to dil bhar karke ziyarat kar lena. So you see the respect they got for each other. Respect, muhabbat, regards. That is something to see. You know, you can't appreciate it by me just talking about it. But you see this Buzrugana Deen and how they respected muhabbat and respect. So whilst we were there once, so Hazrat gave us advice. The students now, we must be joke, laugh. So he gave advice on hadith. Iyakum wa muhaqqiqati dunya. be careful of even the small wrongs. Be careful of the small wrongs. Sometimes the major wrongs we are careful about, but the small wrongs we disregard them. Sometimes that's minor wrong. Then, you know, they say when you continuously do that minor wrong, that can amount to a big sin. The akthara fi sahai, carry on. Then you become like oblivious. It's just a small thing. No, don't take it so serious. So this becomes the barrier. It becomes the impediment. You see this adab and the position it occupies in your own life, your own person. You would like that from your child, from the household, some adab, some respect. And Islam is so particular about it that even entering the house is adab. لا تدخلوا بيوتا غير بيوتكم حتى تستأنسوا وتسلموا على أهلها. Entering a house, when it's your own house, it's different. But it's another man's house, you don't just barge into the house. Even if it's your brother, your son, your father's house, not your house, you don't just get in. You take permission and make salam. حتى تستأذنوا وتسلموا على أهلها. So you take permission. And taking permission is, so you will knock at the door, and if there's any reply, then you will give your full name. You won't say Abba is here, no. Unless they know you. They know you from your voice. Then it's a different thing. But if they don't know you from your voice, then you tell your full name. Don't say, I am here. I am here now. The boss is here. Don't say that. You identify yourself properly, correctly. This is the person. But you see the Islamic adab. And even in your own home, Rasulullah SAW advised that even if it's your own home and you're coming in, right? So there too also show some type of, show it in some way, show your presence in some way. Don't just get in. Because one is the ancient homes and one is the homes today, right? The homes today were like two quarters. One is a common place and one is a private. So a common place is like the kitchen. Everybody comes in, right? Lounge, common place. Dining room is a common place. Everybody gets there, right? Now, you count it as a common room and you just went in. It may be that your wife is sitting with her friends, right? And when they're sitting around, a casual, the scarf won't be right, or the sleeve will be up, faces are showing, right? But are you just barged in? Isn't it embarrassing for them? Hey, what type of a man this is? He's just barged in there. Yes, we know it's his house, but is this the way that he must just barge in? So, you make your presence known. Like, someone is here. You make it known that you're coming in. So, if they need to take cover, they take cover, and they feel what a respectable home this is. They don't just barge into our privacy. And even if it is your parents' room, right? So, in our type of usage, one is in that zamana, one is our usage. Our usage is this, that your parents' room door may be closed. So if your parents' room door is closed, then don't get in. Yes, it's wide open, children are playing around, they're talking with the father, right, or the nana, whoever, they're talking and joking. Then if you get in, it's not a problem, because now you can see that it's not a time for privacy. But if the door is closed then don't barge in. Then ask, may I come in? Knock the door, do something. The same will apply like some homes, the in Mina with Hazrati Rahmatullah Ali, so the toilet door was closed. So now I'm thinking what to do. So Hazrat corrected me. Says, you must ask, is there anybody inside? It may be that there's someone in the toilet and he didn't put the latch on. Right? It's possible, isn't it possible? Hazrat corrected me. See, you're thinking what to do, but what's the right procedure is you ask. So these minor things also, the Buzhugaradin they pointed to you. Another mistake that I made in Mina, I just wanted water. The place is quite hot, so you want water. So I brought water right to the brim. I said, no, not to the brim, a little less than the brim. Even a centimeter. Because you brought it right to the brim, something's going to spill over. But you left about a centimeter or more than a centimeter, that it doesn't spill over. See? Then, the third thing that he taught us in Mina, you have to observe. This is Buzhugaradi, you have to observe. And where you learn this is from Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu. His student is Makhul, if I remember correctly. So, according to Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, when you washing your hands for ghusl, right, then he would recommend that wash your hands 7 times. So his student Makhul is helping him with the ghusl. Now, sometimes I'm teaching this hadith to the students here, I have to tell them now what happens here. Now, unfortunately, we didn't live in India, so we think, hey, how this happens? He's having a bath, and the student is helping him. So this used to happen every day in front of my room, Dioban. They put on the lungi, and they have a full ghusl there. Just a lungi, right? And having a full ghusl there. So now we didn't witness this thing. Hey, how this thing must have happened? So, Ibn Abbas is having ghusl, and his student Makhul is helping him. Masruq or Makhul is helping him. So, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu is asking the student, kam iktasaltu, how many times have I washed my hands? La adri, I don't know. So Ibn Abbas was upset. La aban laka wa ma manaka an la tadri. See how the stiff words he used. What's wrong with you? What's your brain? Like you say, what's your brain? Why don't you know how many times I wash my hands? So what Ibn Abbas was showing, that when you joining up with the Buzhugaradi for the barakat, muhabbat, and also to learn, that you, the khidmat, doing khidmat, I appreciate that. But at every step you must learn what is the practice of this senior. How did he do his ghusl, how many times, everything must, you must be particular about it. And you also learn that the senior must be particular, that he's doing it meticulously and correctly. So he's sending the right signal. Student is sending the right signal. And the student is sending, the teacher is sending the signal. And the student is also observing. Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Alayh, and he's shaving his armpit. So his student is staring at him while he's shaving the armpit. So Imam Shafi caught out what the student is staring for. So Imam Shafi says, yeah, it's right, nitful ibid, to pluck the hair out of the armpit. But now that I started shaving, the hair is gone hard and it's difficult for me to pluck it out. Therefore I have to shave. But you see, the student and the teacher relationship. So the student is also particular and the teacher is also particular, and that learning becomes such a beautiful experience. Now the same concept, if we apply it to our homes, right? The father is doing everything in accordance to the sunnah. So the child says, no, my Abba does it like that. Can't be wrong. If that is provided, the father is drenched in the love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When he's drenched in that love, the small step or big step will be in that sunnah. And now, how easy it is for the child to pick on. How easy? See, my Abba does it like that. He does this like that. He sleeps in this way. He drinks like this. He eats like that. So every step you are doing it. You know, how it's done. So we are talking about the adab. Where we left? Yeah. So the two things I learned. And there was another thing, it slipped off my mind now. What was the third thing? But now, you have to be on your case to see now how this Buzugar did everything, the small thing, big thing, how they spoke, how they conducted themselves. But on the lighter note, we are there with Hazrat Ji Hamdali. So, Hazrat Abrahul Haq Sahib from Hardoi, he would come for the majlis. We now know, you stay there 2-3 days. So, Hazrat Ji would be there. And other khulafa of Hazrat Muhtami Sahib Hardoi, they should show a lot of respect to Hazrat Ji Hamdali. Like, some of you must have heard of Hafiz Ji Huzur from Bangladesh. He was also a senior khalifa of Muhtami Sahib Hardoi. So he came also. Abrahul Haq Sahib also used to come. Now, as a token of respect, we will join one Abrahul Sahib to his tent. So he came for the Majlis controversy to be there, and then now he's returning. So, as a token of respect, senior Buzurg so will accompany. So, as we come to his tent, and his pillow is laid, as it put his head and he was lying down on his side. Just then we see a person crawling into the tent. From the features it seemed like an Iraqi, fair looking, old, maybe I would say at that time over 60, 55, 60. And now the pillow is like this. Hazrat Mawlana Abrahul Sahib is on this side and he is on the other side. And he put his head down. Allahumma bismika amutu wahya. And the next moment he was gone. That Iraq was gone, really was gone. So when I saw that spectacle, I said, perhaps this Iraqi made a dua, watawaffani ma'al abrar. Right? Both he got it. Literally and really got it, isn't it? Literally and really got it. But this experience we had, that's gone, khalas. Khuda ke pyar ho gaya. Life really is no joy without adab. Proportionate to the adab. Now, adab is a different thing, and takalluf and tasannu is a different thing. See, one is adab, and one is a makeup. Makeup thing, that I don't like. Make up and show business, that I don't like. But adab, how you talk to the person, how you address yourself. And the Sahaba Kiram, every word is measured in adab. Someone asked Abbas, that who's elder, you or Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? They also, though he's an uncle, but the element of adab is not forgotten. He says, أنا أسن وهو أكبر. See that? أنا أسن وهو أكبر. Can you see that element of adab? It's so beautiful. So this element of adab, when it comes in, then you see, amen. This is something else. Something is totally different. How the elder will talk to the small, and how the junior will address the elder. Though, when it's the time to show love, to show affection, They will show that as well. Not that now they'll be sitting on the chairs and all that, everybody's being adab and or standing like statues now. Rasulullah is entering Madinah Munawwara. So small children are coming to receive him. Saniyatul Wida, where you know they will receive, okay, it's like a departure point where you will depart. So small children are coming to receive. And if the band is leaving also, then that's the point that people will depart, right? So if any child came in, the first child came in, he will sit in front. And if it's a second child that came in, he'll sit in the back. So three people are coming in. Right. Imam Bukhari now has got one chapter. Salasatu ala raqibil wahid. Three on one conveyance. The right. So he brought this hadith. But now that doesn't mean that it doesn't mean now that three people like Mawlana Ilyas is sitting on one horse. What will happen? That you will fall down. It's one is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he's an adult, and small two small children. Right? So they will manage the thing. But if three big adults, they sat on one horse then? I don't know, it happened in Mawlana's farm. I don't know who sat on big size, that horse sat down. So, yesterday I explained that in hadith also a little bit of brains has to be used. You can't now just go by the wording, see the context, what happened, how it happened, put your mind to it, and there'll be such a joy in it. If you put your mind, understand what happened, right, how it happened, and you'll find most of the shuruat will have the same explanation. But you have to understand it, you know, context, what was the sequence, how it happened, and you'll find such a joy, such a pleasure. So if you see the element of adab coming into the house, so you gave your full name. No ambiguity, right? And then you made salam. Then you entered, right? Then coming to a person's home or residence, right? There too there's an adab. لا تدخلوا بيوت النبي إلا أن يؤذن لكم. لا تدخلوا بيوت النبي إلا أن يؤذن لكم إلى طعام غير ناظرين إنا. So there's a fourth adab there. The adab is now, your son is, he made nikah, right? So you got a walima. So the walima is announced at, say, quarter past one. غَيْرَ نَازِرِينَ إِنَا. So, I mustn't pitch up at the house at 12 o'clock, waiting for the preparation now, waiting for it to come ready, and I'm parking there at 12 o'clock. Right. Because obviously it will cause some type of a concern to you, a little bit interruption, disturbance. Why it will cause an interruption, disturbance? Because now, you expecting the mihman to come at quarter past one or 1 o'clock or half past one, right? That's the time you're expecting. Now, if you coming there much in advance, right? You came 12 o'clock. So you as the guest, don't you feel uneasy? Because you can't ignore the person, it's your guest. But you have to also make the arrangements for the guest. The manjaras are still coming in, you're still doing the catering, setting the tables. You have to say to them, alright, this is for the VIP, this is the mihman, so you're going to arrange the thing. Now, isn't it a disruption? So, غَيْرَ نَازِرِينَ إِنَا. See that, adab. How enjoyable deen will be if we just add that ingredient of adab. Because there are so much karke. Understand how that adab is supposed to be done, in which sequence, you know, what's the context, how it must be done, understand that. Then, غَيْرَ النَّازِرِينَ إِنَا وَلَكِنْ إِذَا دُعِيتُمْ. And then, فَإِذَا طَعِمْتُمْ. فَإِذَا طَعِمْتُمْ فَانْتَشِرُوا. Now you have eaten, now disperse. So I tell people, I like guests, right? But what I don't like now, that after eating, I sit and talk with them. Now, you've got work now to handle now. Now, you're going to get guests every day, and everybody wants a special audience, 1 hour with you. Now, what's going to happen to the other work? So, bhai, khana kha chuke, jao, go. Obviously, the host is going to find it difficult. Now, leave now. Finish now. Move. He can't tell you. إِنَّ ذَٰلِكُمْ كَانَ يُؤْذِ النَّبِيَ فَيَسْتَحِي. You'll feel ashamed. But the guest must understand, I finish now, the work is done, let's move. Let's go. So then you can call guests every day, because he's not encroaching into your time. But you see the refined, Islamic refined manners. And all is contained in the Quran. إِنَّ ذَٰلِكُمْ كَانَ يُؤْذِ النَّبِيَ فَيَسْتَحِي مِنْكُمْ. So again, you're talking of adab of home, right? So, one is adults and grown-up people, right? So grown-up and adult people, I showed you what's the procedure of getting to a home. But if it's a small child, right, then does he also observe the same etiquette? So no. Small child, tawafuna alaykum ba'dukum ala ba'd. They can come and go out. It's alright. But these small little children also, they must be trained. Trained what? Min qabli salatil fajri wa hina tada'una thiyabakum min az-zahirati wa min ba'di salatil isha salatu uratikum. These small little children, they must be also trained that in these 3 times, they mustn't just rush into the room. Salatu uratikum, which 3 times? Before Fajr, that means for the night, and at Qailula, midday when you're resting, right? وَحِينَ تَدْعُونَ ثِيَابَكُمْ مِنَ الزَّيْرِ وَمِنْ بَعْدِ صَلَاةِ الْإِشَاءِ. And after Isha, that means after Isha and before Fajr. صَلَاةُ أُوْرَاتِ لَكُمْ, because these 3 times are times of your privacy. Right? Now these children now, say for example you're very intimate, right? Very intimate. And the child spotted that. Now, there are reported incidents that small child, he's imitating what he saw. What he saw, he's imitating, he's doing something. So now, you're reprimanding the child, but do you reprimand yourself that I did this thing here? The child seen it consciously, unconsciously. He's imitating what he's seeing. Now, you should have been understanding that, no, I can't be doing these things in the presence of this child. One alim came to me some times back, and he had some guests, you know, showing adab. See, what a position it occupies indeed. So he's complaining to me that he had some of his friends for a supper or something. So the little child, when you are 4 years of age, he says, "The father, Abba, chows are ready now, chows are ready." See, I felt so offended, the child came and said, "Chows are ready now." I have all respectable ulama there, a small child, not for 3-4 years of age, and this is what he's saying. I'm very upset. I said, "Well, don't blame the child, blame yourself." Why must I blame myself? Maybe you use this word in the child's presence. And the child picked it up. Child thinks that, hey, my Abba is always right. That's how he thinks. My Abba is always right. So you use this word in his presence. So he picked it up from there. Now, you need to know now, I'm talking to a child. The child is registering things. When he's registering things, then I must be a little bit conscious about it. So I tell the people, see, even when the family is conceived now, right, from that time now, you have to be careful of what you're doing. What you're saying, what you're doing, you have to be careful. Because subconsciously, the child that is within the womb, that thing is registering everything. If you are showing a certain behavior, a certain tendency, then invariably the child also will have those tendencies. If you're showing something. So you have to be careful about your statements and your tendencies, your moods, all that, from that point right until delivery. In fact, afterwards, post-delivery also. You must be careful. My father, Allah forgive him, after you married, then he says, see, now that you're married, you can't have the same freedom like you had when you were not married. Now, you have to assume responsibility. The words that you say, how you speak, there may be things that are permissible, of permissible nature. But now that you're married, now you have to understand that you are in a responsible position. In a responsible position, then your wife or your child may take the wrong cue from you. So, how careful you must be for the usage of your words, of your conduct, of your behavior after marriage. How careful you must be. Things may be otherwise permissive, like I said, you know, some slang word using, right? You will not say it's haram. That's what he was referring to, using a slang word. You know, doors now, chowd, finished, now. You can use these type of words, I won't say it's haram, but now, don't use these words in the presence of these children. Although I tell the children this, some of the English slang words, right, they are not slang words, they got a root in English. Like you say, doors, right, came from the word doze. So there is a root, there is a, but now it's used totally as a slang. Right. It's used as a slang. So just be careful. In their presence, what are you doing? How are you talking? What are you saying? What are you supposed to be saying? What are you supposed to be doing? So from that time, in fact, after, you know, post-delivery also, you be careful. So I tell them, see, at that time it's nice that you make some zikr in a sweet voice. The Quran Sharif, read the Quran Sharif also in a nice voice. Nice voice. Prenatal and postnatal, right? From that time until. And my observation is that if you're doing that, the child becomes familiar to that voice. Even if he's crying, he will just calm down. Because that was the first thing that came to his ears. So he got familiar with that. When he's familiar with that, now he's feeling comfortable, he's feeling secure. When he's feeling secure, then he's going to sleep nicely, easily. No ghabra, right? But where I picked up this point, some doctor's journal, I picked up the point there. That don't underestimate the child. If the parent is smoking, 70% of the time, the child also has to smoke. If the parent is abusing alcohol, 70-80% of the time, the child is going to be born, he's also going to be abusing. He's picking this thing up, subconsciously he's picking it up, and you don't realize it. And Allah wants you to be more, every day of your life, as you're progressing in time, the more you progress, the more responsible you need to be. See, when you're born, no responsibility. Was there any responsibility? For about 1 year, no responsibility. You can pee where you want, you can mess where you want, you can shout, you can scream and cry. Are you responsible for anything? Nothing, absolutely irresponsible. But now, at the age of 5, and you spew anywhere, you mess yourself anywhere, then now you're responsible. And as you're growing up in age 10, 12, then you must be responsible. See, did you read namaz? Why didn't you read namaz? Where were you now, till now? So you're responsible. And that responsibility must be pushed into the child. He must be responsible. Our neighbors, the Badat, you know. So, one of the sisters, our age. So she's married to some Desai. Mulana Desai from Marisburg. He's son, right? So now, just showing you now, these old people now, how they created responsibility. So, Mulana Desai, maybe second or third son. So, Mulana didn't see him for Asar Namaz with Jamaat. Maybe he read the namaz, but individually, at the age of about 10. So, well, I didn't see the child for namaz in the masjid. So now, it is a rule in most homes that Safa will have all together. So if there's any correction, then the correction is done on the supper table. So the father is asking, where were you? I didn't see you in the masjid, or you're just finishing the match. So all the father had to say, see now you left coming to the masjid, now because of you I'll have to burn in Jahannam. Because of your negligence, I have to burn in Jannah. He said to himself, you think I ever missed my namaz after that? After that, I never. That day also, I read, but individually. But you think I ever missed my namaz with Jamaat after that? You see now, the seeds of responsibility are being pushed onto the child, slowly, slowly, with understanding. No, understand, see, how our Sharia also is so beautiful. But we don't take the time. If we got the time to reflect, then what we're going to do in the holiday, go to a table, go to this one here, go to Berg, that's the whole. Or the marinate you got housing. So either about food or holiday, fuel or holiday, or car. What's the latest car? What's the price? So these things we don't talk about. Aspects, finite aspects of adab. So these aspects of adab, we are supposed to be talking about it. And I say, how beautiful is the Sharia structure. The Sharia is telling you, when the child is 7, muruhum bis salah, command them. Well, then you think, alright, why at the age of 7? So 7 is half the age of puberty, right? So that means, if you started namaz at 7, half his life until 14 was in namaz. Now, when it becomes like a routine in you, is it easy to leave it off? When it became a routine in you, now is it easy to leave the namaz? So you get them to do the namaz at that age. So that namaz became like his makeup. If he is uncomfortable, if he didn't do the namaz, but for the parents also, there's a way to talk to the child. That the child, you don't keep shouting the child. Because then that child becomes immune to your shouting. Or he becomes shameless. Whatever I do, I'll just get a jacking here. I'll do anything, I'll get a hiding, I'll get a jacking. So he becomes immune. So that has to be given, but thoughtfully. Now when must I reprimand the child? Rebuke him, and when mustn't I do it? A little bit of thought process is required. See the house and the child growing up. Hazrat Jihad used to say, "Log baap banne ko chahte hain. They want to become fathers. Lekin baap banne ki zimmedari seekhte nahi. They want to become fathers, but the responsibility is attached to parenthood. They don't care about it. They just wanted the child must be a bundle of joy, that's all. That means what they want the child must be a toy like. That's why the child is not a toy. Child is a responsibility in your hands. Your responsibility is to guide him. Lead him to Jannah, show him. See that he's entrenched in that path. So nothing, no waves of the world will ever throw him off the course. Anything coming from this side, from that side, nothing throws him. This is the right. Father taught me, just going with that, not going to the right, not going to the left. That's your responsibility. So your responsibility is not to make the child a money-making machine or just being a joy for the eyes. Chi of the eye. So how we look at it, know the child must be a chi of the eye or the child must be a money making machine. That's the biggest concern. If he can make money for himself, well, it's alright. My child is too good, man. Just he must get his namaz right, not reading namaz. See how they word it. He's a beautiful child. any amount, he's got in. But yeah, his weak is namaz. The other weak is namaz. So namaz is like a small thing. If the faith ka masla sahi ho gaya, to gaya ke usne zindagi ke maksad ko pura kar liya. If he got his stomach right, as though he's fulfilled his aim in life. That's how our mind has, the whole mind has capsized, gone off.